And we're going to read Psalm 90 and 91. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men, for a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our year are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to thy days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands, and upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Amen.
Amen. We'd like to turn to the first epistle of John.
And we're just going to read chapter 4, first epistle of John, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirits of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come in, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And if we had known and believed the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that who loveth God, loveth his brother also. Amen. And that psalm, or the psalms that we read, we have this psalm written by Moses, that man of God. And it's that first verse that I want to dwell upon this day to consider. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Need to consider what it means that the Lord has been our dwelling place. The place where we live or the place where we dwell is very important to us. How often when you've met someone, they've asked you, where do you live? Or perhaps when you're talking to someone, you ask them where they live. It's something that is of great concern to us most of the time. Where people live is of great importance. We're upset by the plight of those that have no dwelling, the homeless. The news has been full of migrants and refugees and how they have no home. And I can remember when I was at work, I had to go to a course where a lot of psychology was talked about, but one of the great principles that they went on about was something dreamt up by a man called Maslow, and saying the need for security is one of the greatest needs for men. As I said, that was the philosophy of the world. But we do pay a lot of attention as to where we dwell, our physical dwelling, because where we dwell is where we find our security, where we can find our rest, where we can find all good things. And so with Moses, he starts this prayer. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And obviously, Moses here is not talking about a physical dwelling. He's talking about that relationship that he has had with God. And he's likening it to a dwelling place. And that shows us the importance of having that right relationship with God, of dwelling with God. Because if we dwell with God, those things that I've already mentioned flow from dwelling with God, from security, from having a place of rest. And so, as I said, Moses not talking about a physical dwelling, but talking about that relationship, being close to God. A dwelling, as I said, is a place of shelter. It can be a place of shelter from the rain, those everyday things of life, those things that everybody in the world experiences, inclement weather, too much sun, whatever it is, things that affect us all, the political climate. But also, it can, for the believer, that dwelling place is that place of refuge, that place of strength, that place of protection from all the evils that Satan might throw at us, from the world that is persecuting the church, persecuting the believer. If we dwell with God, we will be safe. We will have that protection. And Psalm 90, as we read, it's a prayer of Moses, a man of God, a psalm written by Moses. And why I wanted to read on into Psalm 91, because that follows on. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Psalm 91 doesn't tell us who wrote it, but a lot of the commentators and the Jews of old think that Moses wrote Psalm 91. And it does seem to flow from Psalm 90 into 91. Psalm 90, as I said, starts with, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations," and then moves on. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And so what does it mean to dwell with God? We need to consider this, and we will consider it. But it's interesting, Moses, he says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." It's not just Moses that has dwelt with God. He said, in all generations, thinking back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, a reminder that we can all dwell with God. God is that dwelling place for all generations, for all that have gone behind, as Moses says. But because he's been the dwelling place of those that have gone before, he can be the dwelling place of those now. He can be our dwelling place. And again, Moses draws our attention and says, he's been our dwelling place in all generations. A reminder that God has been pleased to dwell with men. Men of like passion. Men like ourselves. Men that have had difficulties. Men that have had insecurity. Men that have been persecuted because they've dwelt with God. Because they proclaimed the name of God. And so, as we consider dwelling with God, it can encourage us and help us in our faith. As we know, the Old Testament was written for our example, written to encourage us, written for us to learn from the way God has dwelt with men, how God has dealt with men, and how God deals with men now. We can apply it to ourselves. Think of Moses when he wrote this psalm. It's thought that Moses penned this psalm at the end of the wilderness journeys. And just think briefly about Moses. He was born, he was put amongst the rushes, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh, he fled from Egypt into Midian, he returned to Egypt, he confronted Pharaoh, he led the people out into the wilderness and wandered round. There was a man that faced great turmoil in his life, no settled abode, but he was one that could say, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. That was his testimony. That was his strength. That was the way that he opens this prayer, acknowledging that he has dwelt with the Lord throughout all generations. And when you read through the rest of the psalm, you can see the difficulties that he's seen, that he's experienced, that he's witnessed going on. But his one thing that he can testify of is that the Lord has been his dwelling place. You read through that Psalm 90, thou turnest man to destruction and say, return, ye children of men. He had seen the way the people of Egypt had been taught. He had seen the way the people in the wilderness had turned away from their God and how they'd been judged. But Moses could still say, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. He knew that there was safety and security with God, and that is his testimony. As I said, these examples, men of like passions, we're not called to go through the wilderness like Moses physically, but this world is a wilderness to us. We can be persecuted because we profess the name of Christ. And so, consider the Lord as our dwelling. And it's not just an Old Testament concept to have God dwelling. What does our Saviour say in John's Gospel, chapter 14? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Lord Jesus Christ uses the word abode to dwell with those that profess his name. And so we are called to dwell with Christ. As we read through in that epistle of John, John 1 John 3, we read just at the end there in verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. And then we read in chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And then verse 16. And if we have known and believed the love that God had to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so for this New Testament age, the age that we find ourselves in, we can dwell in Christ and dwell in God. And as Moses found protection and help there, we will find help and protection if we abide in Christ. And that word abide, it has that sense of to dwell in rest. And why are men restless? Surely it's the great problem of the time. Men and women seem very discontented, restless. Why are we so restless? Why are men so restless? Why do they need a dwelling? A commentator stated, God created the earth for beasts to inhabit, the sea for fishes, the air for fowls, and heaven for angels and stars, so that man had no place to dwell and abide in but God alone. And that is the only place that we will find somewhere to abide, where we can truly rest, is when we dwell in God, when we abide in Christ. And if you think back to the very beginning, to creation, the Lord created the world. He created the sea, the land, the fowl, the herbs of the field. He created everything, and it was good. He made that Garden of Eden perfect, and he made man to live in that garden in communion with God. Man was able to dwell in God in perfect harmony and was perfectly at ease until he rebelled. Rebelled against God by listening to Satan, by taking notice and disobeying God, partaking of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. That rebellion, that sin against God's commandment, meant eviction from his dwelling place. He was turned out of the Garden of Eden and no longer had a place to dwell. Turned out of the Garden of Eden and made homeless. And that's why men are so discontented, so restless, because they have sinned. They have turned their back upon God. They have no dwelling place. They have no rest. They're homeless, wandering around. And so a picture of the present age, not dwelling with God because of rebellion. And why don't people want to dwell with God now? Because of their sin. Because of the sin of unbelief. They won't believe that God exists. They won't believe that God created heaven and earth, that God created them, that they need to take heed to God's word. Men are still in rebellion. They will seek anything to find somewhere to dwell. They will seek the false religions. They will trust in princes. They will trust in political parties. They will trust in philosophy of men. They will try drugs or anything else to find peace and somewhere to dwell. But they will not repent and turn unto God to find God as their dwelling place. They won't be like Moses and say that he has been their dwelling place. But there is that remnant, Moses, that man of God, that could say he has been their dwelling place. And that's the testimony of every believer, even now, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been their dwelling place, their place of abode, and they have found peace and rest. They have found security. They're no longer wandering around lost. They have found, if I can change the metaphor a bit, that anchor, that place of security, that place of abode, that place of rest. And in Psalm 90, as I said, Moses starts off with that great affirmation. Verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. He knows God. He's prepared to confess God. And because he knows God, he's prepared to pray unto God. And this psalm throughout is a prayer, the remainder of the psalm, of how the Lord has dealt with his people, how he has seen so much turmoil through his life. But as I said, he's known God as his dwelling place. And he says at the end, make us glad according to thy days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we've seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou thy work for our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Moses, because he's been dwelling with God, has faith that he can pray unto God, that God will help, that will sustain, will establish them, will keep them. And so, considering the Lord as our dwelling place, as I said, Moses penned this having wandered through the wilderness, but we can apply these practice to our own lives. We consider the Lord Jesus Christ, as our dwelling place, that place where we can find rest for our souls, where we can find peace and enjoy the blessings from our Lord. Again, we know for the believer that this is only a picture of our final dwelling place. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ says at the beginning of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that wherein I am, there ye may be also. We are passing through this world, no physical dwelling We dwell in Christ. But there is coming that day when Christ will come again and we will inhabit that dwelling that he has made for us. We will dwell with God. We will dwell with Christ permanently and eternally. We will no longer be passing through this wilderness of sin, through this world. And that's the hope of each one of us that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we've considered the dwelling of the previous generations of Abraham. And what do we read in Hebrews? I hardly need to remind you, but by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so we remind ourselves that while we dwell with God now in this world by faith, we come to that time when we will dwell in that heavenly city, when faith will give way to sight and we will know that eternal security of being safe with our Saviour in that heavenly city. And so all the struggles will have come to an end. There will be no more tears, no more crying. We will have that perfect peace and we will enjoy it forever. But we'll only be able to do that if we can say now that the Lord is our dwelling place. How often do you hear it of the saints on their deathbed or those that have died? We talk of them going home to their eternal dwelling place where they're safe forever. As I said, no more struggles, no more tears, no more weeping. We're passing through, but as we pass through this wilderness, we can pass through with our Lord. We can pass through with him as our dwelling place. We can pass through abiding in Christ, knowing that he cares for us, that he indeed is our help and our strength. So now is the time that we should be able to say, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. As I said, Moses passed through so many trials. We think of Abraham called out from Ur of the Chaldees, called to wander through to the promised land, looking for the promised land. Isaac and Jacob, Joseph. Again, these are all men that had made all men that had made the Lord their dwelling, all that had found peace and security with him. And because they had made the Lord their dwelling, they could say with the psalmist, with Moses in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge, a place of protection. As I said, a refuge from those everyday trials of life, inclement weather or whatever, but also his fortress when attacked by Satan. A fortress is somewhere that's secure. My God, in him will I trust. We're to trust in God. Whatever happens, if we dwell in God, we're to trust in him, because then he will be our fortress and our refuge. Surely he'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. How often does Satan come round and tempt us, that fowler that's seeking to snare us? But if we're dwelling with God, we will have that protection. He will deliver us from those temptations, from those temptations to wander from our God, to leave the dwelling place of our God. The Lord will protect us if we're seeking to dwell with him, to abide with Christ. And again, the description that God is so gracious to us in giving. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. What more do we need than to dwell, that picture of that bird looking after its chicks, the feathers covering him? How good is our God to him, that we can trust him. But not only does he protect us, he's given us his truth. His word is our shield. We have the dwelling place. We have that word as well. He will protect us. As I said earlier, he protects us from the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. And so as you read through that Psalm 91, you can see all the way that the Lord protects his people. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh upon thee. If we're dwelling with God, nothing can shake us. Nothing can disturb us. We are safe in him. If we're trusting in his word, we are safe with him. And then in the middle of this psalm, it says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So often, living in this world, passing through this world, we get discouraged. We can get despondent by all that's going round. But if we're dwelling with God, we will look out with those eyes and we shall see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. The only way that we can make sense of all that is going on round and about us is if we're dwelling with the Lord. We've been going through on Thursday evenings the Psalms of Asaph, a man that dwelt with his Lord, that dwelt with God. And thinking back to Psalm 73 and the Psalm of Asaph, I've lost the verse. That's it. Psalm 73, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. If we dwell with God, if we abide in Christ, we will look at the world outside aright. But if we cease to dwell with God, if we cease to abide with Christ, we will be tossed round and about. We will become restless like the rest of the world. The psalmist in Psalm 91 says there in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. All that has gone before in Psalm 90 is because the Lord is his refuge, is the Lord is his habitation. And then he goes on in that psalm, there shall no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, and out of the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he's dwelling with God, he is protected. Again, all those snares that might come upon us, if we're abiding and dwelling with Christ, we will not have a problem. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Can't help but think back to our Lord Jesus Christ. He trampled Satan underfoot. The Lord promises to protect those that dwell with him. The angels are round about. They have charge over us to keep us, to protect us, but only if we're dwelling. As we read in the middle of that psalm again, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That is our protection, but only if we have made the Lord our dwelling. Need to ask the question, how do men dwell with God? How do we dwell with God? I hardly need to remind you, but if you enter a dwelling, you go through the door. And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is that door. He says, I am the door. Or again, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that is the only way that we can dwell with God, is that we have to come through Christ. He is the only way that we can dwell. We're to have faith in Christ, and then we can dwell with the Almighty. We can dwell with God. As we read about Abraham, he lived that life by faith. They were looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look back and see that Christ has come. Christ has shown us the way. Christ has told us that that he is the door, and therefore we're to come through him, because that is the only way. There is no other way to come but by Christ. And again, as we read in 1 John, chapter 4 and verses 14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We come, we dwell in God, because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come through Christ. And again, the way that Christ has done this, remember back in the Garden of Eden, man dwelling in perfect harmony with God, but then rebelled against God, sinned against God. He was evicted from the garden because of his sin. Enmity was put between man and God. And so it is, the only way we can dwell with God is that we need to be reconciled to him. We need peace to be made. And again, as we read in Colossians about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have you reconciled. You can't dwell in a house with your enemy. It would be very difficult. And we can't dwell with God until we've been reconciled by Christ, until we have accepted that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to shed his blood upon the cross in order that the thrice holy God can be reconciled unto us, sinful men, until Christ has come and made that peace so that we can dwell with him. The only way to dwell with God is to come through Christ. And so, if we come to Christ, we can say with Moses, Lord, thou hast been my dwelling place, and thou wilt be my dwelling place for years to come. So no reconciliation, no peace, no dwelling with God. Christ, as I said, has come to make that possible, that we can dwell with God, come to reconcile sinners unto God. And we can be sure that we can have that assurance that he's been our dwelling place all that time. We know that because we can call upon him. As we read in Psalm 91, he shall call upon me, and I will deliver him and honour him with long life, and will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our assurance is that we can pray unto God, that he hears our prayer, that he answers our prayer, that he helps us in our times of difficulty, in our times of trial and temptation. We have the Spirit prompting us, guiding us, and helping us in that cry. And then, as I said, we have those promises of Christ that he has gone before to his Father's house, where there are many mansions, to make a place, to prepare a place for us. And so we're assured of that eternal dwelling if we dwell now in this generation with our Lord, if we dwell with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's our security. That's our hope for the days that lie ahead. And we've considered dwelling with God, the importance of dwelling with God, why we can't dwell with God because of sin, but how we can be reconciled, how we can have that peace, and then all the blessings that come, having that security, that safety, even better than any physical dwelling. But if we enter into a dwelling, if you came into my home, there's certain standards I expect. We all have certain rules for our house, and so it is that if we're going to dwell with God, we have responsibilities. We have to take heed to how we behave if we want to dwell with God. What do we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24? He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. If we're going to dwell with God, we keep his commandments. We ceased dwelling with God when man rebelled. And so we should do all that we can to keep his commandments, knowing that Christ has brought about that reconciliation. But it should be our delight to keep his commandments now, to obey his word, to take heed unto his word, to keep his commandments. Of course, the common one that is so often broken now and so visibly broken, as we've considered in the link, the Sabbath day. If we keep his commandments, we can testify that we're keeping his commandments by keeping that Sabbath day, by coming to that physical building of the house of God to dwell with our God. And John 15 says, if you keep my commandments. And that's our responsibility. If we want to dwell with God, we are to keep his commandments. And then in 1 John 4 verse 12 we read, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth us, and in his love is perfected in us. And then verse 16 says, and we know that we believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We love God if we dwell in his house, but those that love God keep his commandments. But also, we're to dwell in unity. We're to love the saints. We're to love all those others that have been caused to dwell with God. The church of believers are to love one another. We're to seek to dwell in unity and in love. That lovely psalm, isn't it? Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. If we dwell in God, we will seek to keep his commandments, but we'll also love those that the Lord has caused to dwell with him. And as the church and church members, it's our responsibility to love one another, to dwell in unity, and to enjoy the blessings of God if we do. The dwelling of God, if we're close to God, we should have peace with him, but also peace with one another. And then in John 1 John 4 verse 15, it also says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We're to profess our faith in Christ. We're to profess our faith in the church that we are in Christ. But also, it's our responsibility to tell others where we dwell, how we dwell, because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able to profess to this sin-sick world, this restless world, that our dwelling place is with God, because we profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can confess that Christ is our Saviour, that Christ has reconciled us, that we're dwelling with God, that we're abiding in Christ. And so can we say with Moses, Lord, that thou hast been our dwelling place. Are we dwelling with God? Are we seeking to keep his commandments, to love one another, to abide in Christ? Because if we do, we are assured of his blessing. And if you dwell with someone in a house, it means we have communication. And that's one of the blessings of dwelling with God, that we can approach him in prayer at any time. The joys of being married and living in a house is that you can come home from a day's work or wherever and you can talk to your partner. We're in the world, the difficulties, the trials. If we dwell with God, we can come and talk to him and pray to him and seek his help. And so may each one of us be found dwelling with Christ and dwelling with God. Amen.
Amen.